Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Whom have I, Lord, in heaven but Thee, to whom my thoughts aspire? And having Thee on earth is naught that I can yet desire. 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and thereof Psalm 73. But before, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not troubled as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works.
We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon Mr. Peter Herwire, who hopes to have surgery this coming Tuesday, and also student Slingerland, who has been given permission to begin speaking an edifying word in congregations near to him. Let us try to pray and ask for the help and blessing of God. O Lord of heaven, we may gather around thy holy word. And we have heard what an instruction that it was unto thy servant, how much is learned in thy house by thy people, for there thou dost instruct them. And then he became as a beast before thee, so ignorant and so foolish he saw himself. O Lord, wilt thou give us so also eyes to see how foolish and how ignorant that we are. For he had been envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. But then he could say for himself, though he was in the midst of all his tribulation, whom have I in heaven but thee? And who upon the earth is there that I desire beside thee? O Lord, wilt thou give such desires in the hearts of young and old? Oh, then everything that we have to suffer in this world falls away. And then there is nothing that is to be sought for except for thee alone. Then we have everything. For time and for eternity, oh, lay it in the bottom of the heart of each and every one. By that beginning work of thy most Holy Spirit, then we shall be born again, and then we shall receive new eyes and a new heart, a heart that loves what we did not love and that hates what we did not hate. Oh, then it is a renewed will to make new choices. Oh, that thou may give it to our children in our youth, while they are still young, to remember their Creator. Wilt thou give them a heart to love thee, to seek thee, and to find thee, and that as parents also we may receive what is necessary to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, give us faithfulness. Give us truth. And grant us that life that is an example before our children, that they might walk according to all the commandments of the Lord. Oh, that thou may lay in the hearts of each and every one also when we have become older. For we have a saying among men, the older the colder. Lord, thou must break the heart, thou must make it soft, thou must make it to melt, and thou canst make it even so in this very hour. When we are round about thy word of truth in thy house and in our home, oh, that we may experience a little something of thy existence, of thy nearness, of thy presence, and of that great power of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, that we may receive that instruction also, and that thou givest to every one of thy dear children an instruction which strips a man of all his expectations and of all his hopes that are outside of thy dear and only begotten Son. Then it is a way that is through the sea, and yet it is a way that is in thy sanctuary. Oh, that thou may lead into that truth, whereby thy name is magnified and honored, and thy dear Son, he is glorified for all that he has done, to suffer and to die for the greatest of sinners. Oh, that he may receive the honor and the glory, and that that triune God may be magnified in all thy ways and works. Oh, that thou may remember us together, look upon us in all the needs and the cares of this life, thy servants, him also that is to go forth in this day to begin that great work, to bring thy word in the midst of the congregations, O Lord, we beseech Thee, that Thou may help him. For Thou knowest all that he is in and of himself. And then he needs Thee as we all need Thee. But when he must begin, then it can be so difficult. That he may feel something that Thou dost stand, O Lord, on his right hand and on his left hand, and that Thou givest him help from above to know what to say and how to say it, and that Thou may feed Thy people under that instruction. That we may be gladdened with Thy deeds, and when he may yet tell of how that Thou hast gone before him. Lord, that Thou may remember all Thy servants. And we think also of those on the mission field, the team that is come on furlough to their places. That Thou may give them a little rest, and wilt Thou supply for them in all their needs, that also that their time may come that they may return refreshed unto their labors once again, and do give that more servants may be called into Thy service. For it is a good service, though it is too heavy for the shoulders of a man. But Thou dost show Thyself to help every time again. For Thou art faithful who calleth. That Thou may give, that it may be bound upon the hearts of those whom Thou hast chosen. And when a man is not able to go forth in his own strength, so that he needs everything from Thee, then it is possible for Thee to be glorified, and for Thy people to be edified, and to be fed, and to be nourished. Lord, that Thou may remember us as a congregation, and we lay before Thee him who is to receive surgery in the week to come. Lord, that Thou may be near unto him also, make Thou all things well, give physicians skill and wisdom, and be Thou on the right and on the left side to bring him through and to grant Thy blessing upon all that must take place. Remember all that are sick and afflicted in the days in which we live, and when we hear of multitudes and multitudes, O Lord, that we may not take our strength and health for granted, but wilt Thou help those that are very sick, and that Thou may give medicines, give wisdom unto those who do research, and that Thou may help us as nations and as this world in which we live. Lord, we do cry unto Thee. From out of all this tribulation that Thou layest upon us, and we do not deserve any different, but that Thou wouldest in the end cast us from Thy presence. Our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day. Open our eyes for them and give us a true repentance. And could it please Thee yet to stay Thy hand? Wilt Thou remember us as congregations, denomination? Watch over and protect us. And wilt Thou keep us on every side, both young and old, and use yet this way for the conversion of many? That we may be brought in the right place before Thee, for we are not able to do so from our own sight. Remember those who in this week are called to lay a beloved husband and father and brother in the grave. Lord, Thou knowest each and every one of them. That Thou may stand also on their right and on the left, to give strength, and could it please Thee, to give them to know that only comfort in life and in death, that they might know that they are not their own, but that they belong unto their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That we may be given to seek that comfort while it is still called today, and that we may be prepared
as a stranger and pilgrim here below, to depart from this temporary life, that we may go unto our eternal home, there to receive that desire of the heart of thy church, whom is there in heaven but thee, and upon earth that I desire beside thee. O Lord, that thou may grant us strength in this afternoon, to help us to bring this little portion of thy word of truth. Oh, do open it unto us, that we may open it unto others, and that we may receive clarity in our mind, thy spirit, to lead in each and every word, and that our ears may be opened, that our attention may be brought to thy holy word, and that thy spirit may bring it deep within our hearts, that it may be a moment and never to be forgotten, wherein life is born, wherein instruction is received, and wherein thy name is magnified. Do forgive and take away our many sins. Be with all those that are in their homes in a special way. Wilt thou grant thy blessing also there? The children, give them to listen attentively. Help all parents and children. Lord, thou knowest each and every family and what they stand in need of. Oh, that thou may give love between husbands and wives, obedience for children to the parents, tenderness and love, and that thou may bless all those relations, that it all may redound to the honor and to the glory of thy most holy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 51, stanzas 2 and 3. The burden of the sorrowful the Lord will not despise. He has not turned from those that mourn. He hearkens to their cries. 2 and 3 of Psalter 51.
Thank you.
beloved congregation. We read in the book of Kings that the Lord asked one of his servants a question. He said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Remember where he was, children. Elijah was in the wilderness. Elijah was at Mount Horeb. Elijah was in a cave. The Lord, he asked him a very searching question. He said, "What are you doing here? What is the purpose for which you are come here? What is the reason? What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah was very despondent. He was ready to give everything up. When we are just a little child, and then we often live just from day to day, and then everything is left in the hands of father and mother. But when we begin, young people, to get older, and then we begin to ask ourselves some questions, then we begin to realize that we have a mother and a father, and later we will begin also to say, "What am I going to do when I become a man?" Boys, for example, "What will I do? What is my purpose here in this life?" It is possible that a person that they never really mature in their mind all their life, they go on and they live just from day to day. Other persons, they are given to think about things that are more than just the here and the now. We have heard of that last 2 weeks. Those who thought of things beyond, the things which are just physical, and yet they are in a quagmire, we said, of ignorance, so that they cannot find out what is really beyond the things which are just the here and the now. When the Lord will give us true conversion, then we will be given to ask a similar question as what we hear the Lord asks his servant. "What doest thou here? What are we doing here? What am I doing here? What is my purpose here below?" Then it is possible that we say, "I feel like I am in a wilderness." And it is possible that we say that we are very, very despondent, that we want to give everything up. But is that really necessary? We want to consider the answer to that question out of the portion once more from Acts 17. Acts 17, and this time from verse 27. Acts 17, verse 27. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." So far, the words of our text. The purpose of man's creation. First, Paul's declaration of this purpose of man's creation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. And second, Paul's encouragement to this purpose, though he be not far from every one of us. Thus, the purpose of man's creation, Paul's declaration of this purpose, and in the second place, Paul's encouragement to this purpose. Thus, we have heard in these past weeks of the preaching of the apostle unto the Athenians with the blessing of the Lord that was upon that preaching, as we have heard of the conversion of Dionysius the Areopagite and also of others. And we can read that Paul, in that preaching, he brings that people back to the creation, and that is a very profitable thing for us to consider, our creation. Because Paul, he declares that true God, he is their creator, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. All nations of men made, he says, of one blood. That is something. Whose blood? Whose blood is that? All men, children, all men, they are made in the Bible, it says, of one blood. You say, well, that must be the blood of Adam, or yes, it could even be here the blood of Noah. That is something to think about, that every man, he has actually in his beginning that same blood. Why? If we think about Joseph when he was sitting on the throne, and then it came to be that his brother Benjamin, that was his full brother, then he was standing there before him. And when Joseph saw his brother, and then his bowels, they began to yearn. He desired to reveal himself. He desired to embrace. He desired to give his brother a kiss. That is so also in this life. When we have not seen our brother, our relative, for a long, long time, and that we may see him, and we say, that is my brother. That is a very special person. He is of my flesh, and he is of my blood. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says that all men, they are of one blood. How must then that give to us a love in our heart for every man that is in this world? That we may see him as our brother, that we may see him as our sister. All made of one blood, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Thus our Creator, He has beforehand, it says, appointed our times, when they will come into this world, when they will go out of this world, and he has set bounds, just like children, he has set bounds, we read in God's word, to the waters, they were covering all the earth, and then he has made the waters go all together into the oceans and brought that dry land to appear and set bounds that those waters, they cannot pass over. If he does not let them pass over, he did that in the flood. He let them pass over, right? But the Lord at his command, he keeps those waters and he sets the bounds also unto mankind, wherever that they may roam upon this world. Thus, before that he has placed them in this world, he has made for them a good place to live in this world. He has made a place where there is food and drink and clothing and shelter and so on. And now all of this cannot be without a purpose. Without a purpose. Everything that we see in this world, every effect that we see in this world, that has what? That has a cause. A There is a cause and there is an effect. There are many causes that are just physical. They are just blind. They cannot see. So children, if you think about David and Goliath, then what killed Goliath? Stone. Yes, stone. Well, was that a bad stone that killed Goliath? No. Why not? Well, that stone that did not have a mind, say that stone that killed Goliath, it was the cause of his death, yes? It was the physical cause of his death. But you say there was more behind it, there was a sling behind it. It was also a physical cause that made that stone go. There was more than a stone and a sling, you say, yes? What was more? There was a mind behind it, right? There was the arm that pulled that sling, but then there was the mind. David's mind. So there were the physical things, the causes, but there was also a mind. And that mind that had an intention, that mind that had a purpose, and that it has taken that sling, that it has taken that stone in hand, and it is that mind that has directed all those physical causes that they may bring to pass what that mind itself has desired. Now, young people, it is taken for granted when you will go to the university, the evolutionist theory is a theory, it is no fact. They will say it is a fact, or they will speak about it as a fact, and it is not true. That evolutionist theory that wants to convince everyone that this whole world that has come about just simply by those blind physical causes, one thing, that arm pulling the sling and the sling pushing that stone, that's all it was. There was no mind behind it. Thus there was no purpose, there was no God behind it. Thus they reject God as the final cause in the creation of this world. And that is why that you will read in the news, you will read so often that people, they are taking their own life. That people, they are in a complete despair. And why in despair? Well, they have no purpose. They see no purpose. They feel no purpose. They say that I am just a product of chance. I am just a product of second physical causes anyway. And I am only subject to the effects of all those physical causes. I am just a subject to fate. Just everything happening the way that it does, and that is why there is no mind behind it at all. No purpose. But the creation teaches us different. We have heard that. Creation, when we look around us, that teaches us different. When we look around us and about us and at ourselves, and then we see purpose in everything. We see that there is a mind behind the creation of this world. And within us, then we have heard that nature that is teaching us that there is indeed a God that exists and that lives in heaven. And here, Paul, he declares that very plainly. He says that God made the world and all things therein and all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And then he speaks about their purpose. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him. That is what he says is the purpose. That is now the reason that God, He has made the world and all things that are therein and all nations of men were to dwell upon all the face of the earth, that they should seek the Lord. Some people say it should really say that in the translation, it should really say that they should seek God, not the Lord, because it is speaking here to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles, they did not have that relation with the Lord. He was not their Lord, as it were, like He was the Lord of the children of Israel, like He was the Lord of His own people. So it should be translated rather that they should seek God. But congregation, we have to remember two things. In the first place, Paul is speaking here about the creation. Thus, he is not speaking here about, in the first place, the covenant of grace. He is not speaking here about the redemption in the first place of his people. No, he is speaking about his relation to those whom he has created. Thus, he is the Lord, though they have left him, he is the Lord of his entire creation and of all nations whom he has made upon this whole earth. In the second place, the Apostle Paul, he is standing in a certain time. And what is that time? He is standing in the time of the very beginning of the new dispensation. Thus, those Gentiles to whom he is speaking, they are now going to be included in that New Testament church. It will not be just the Jewish people anymore. No, now it is going to be the ecclesiastical church that is from all over this whole world, that they should seek the Lord. Thus, Paul says, is the purpose of the creation of man to seek the Lord as the highest being, as our greatest need, as our greatest glory, to worship Him and to serve Him with all our might, all our heart, and all of our strength. We're going to stop here a moment. We're going to ask that question. Children, listen a moment. You don't have to say the answer to me now. You must now say the answer to this question to the Lord in your heart. Do that. What is that question? That question is, do you seek the Lord? Do you seek the Lord? What is your answer to the Lord? Because the apostle says here that this is now our purpose. You say, well, that is now the work of God's people. Wait a moment. Wait a moment. Apostle Paul, he is speaking here to these Gentiles. He is speaking here to these idolaters. And he's speaking here of a people who have been created by him. And he says that this is now the purpose that the Lord has brought you into this world. Thus, if we do not seek the Lord, then we actually miss our purpose. The very purpose that the Lord has made us. That is actually in God's Word one of the very definitions of sin. Of sin. The Hebrew word chata. That word that means to miss the mark. I think it is David. And he says, he that hasteth with his feet, sinneth. The word there is chata. That means he that hasteth with his feet misses the mark. Do we also miss the mark? Do we say, I am busy here, I am busy there? And when you are busy here and there, all over this world, doing all the things we have to do, 6 days shalt thou labor. But do we, in the end, miss the mark? You can read about Solomon. He personifies wisdom. So that means that he makes wisdom into a person, as if it is speaking. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in a special way, wisdom. And Solomon, then he writes, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. As he that misses me, he misses me as the mark, he wrongs not everyone else, but he wrongs his own soul. Thus, do we miss that mark? The very purpose of our creation. We have purposes in this world. Together we had a purpose. We were building our building, beautiful sanctuary. How would that be now if we missed our purpose, if we missed the mark? You say, well, we built something here and we built something there and we were distracted over here and distracted over there with this or that thing in this world. And actually, it's not finished. Or then we would say, all our effort, everything that we have spent on that sanctuary, that is all wasted. All the time that was spent, it is all wasted. The Apostle Paul, he brings that people back to their creation. He also, we hope to see, he brings them also to the judgment that is coming. And in that judgment, when we are laying there on our deathbed, if we may receive one, and we have said for the last time goodbye to our children, to our families, maybe children, to your mother, to your father. And you have said for the last time goodbye in this life. And then you will have to pass out of this life. Then you will stand in that judgment. And what is the Lord going to do in that judgment? He is going to go all the way back to that creation, to that purpose. And he is going to say, why did I place you here in this world? I've placed you in this world, and I have told you out of my holy word. For it is one purpose, that you might seek the Lord. Have you done that? What will we say? I was busy. I was distracted here or there. If we do not seek the Lord, then we really do not deserve a place upon this earth, which is the Lord's. The Bible that says that the children of Israel, they were worse than the ox and the ass. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But my people, they do not consider. Worse than the beasts, that they might seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him. When do you feel after something? Say, we feel after something when we cannot see. Do that sometimes, children, right? Put a blindfold over one another's eyes. Cannot see anything. What does such a person then begin to do? Well, then they begin to use their hands. To feel. That's it says, if haply they might feel after Him, that is, as people who are groping in the dark that are not able to see something. If you will feel something, and there has to be something there in order for you to feel it. What are we feeling for? The apostle says to feel after the Lord. Say, the Lord, can He be felt? The Lord, He is a spirit. Yet the Bible that speaks about feeling after the Lord, how is that possible? Oh, because the Lord, He speaks about Himself as being felt. When He reveals to us, even in a natural way, something of His attributes and of His existence, then when we stand there, then we can see, then we can feel something of the truth of God, of the attributes of God. Then it is as a groping in the dark to find Him. Say, well, this speaks about the creation, the purpose of man. Is it now the purpose that they should feel as in the dark? We do not, we would never say, blessed fall. But actually, even before the fall, when man had that knowledge of God, there was still a certain groping. Why? Because not everything of the Lord was revealed yet. What was it about the Lord that man had no possibility of knowing? That is the vengeance of God, the righteousness of God in the punishment of sin that could never have been known as an attribute of God before the fall. And also the mercy of God. Before the fall, then there was no need for mercy. And so even then, there was a certain wall, as it were, a veil, as it were, upon that full knowledge of God. How much more after the fall, when that mind of man was darkened, that it could not understand anymore. All this, the apostle here, he says, is going on, this darkness and this groping after the Lord. All this, he says, while the Lord, He is not very far away, though He be not far from every one of us. That is something. Thus the apostle, he says to these Athenians, you are groping. You grope as the blind for the wall. You seek with all your might all those idols. And you are looking and looking and looking and you cannot find. And yet, he says, the Lord, He is actually so close to you. That was a great testimony of the ignorance of their worship. That they are looking, as it were, for something and it is right near to them. That is a great pity. Then we would say, children, you are looking and looking and looking for something and you never find it. And later on, maybe years later, you say, but it was right there. And I never found it. That is what the Apostle Paul says. Though he be not far from every one of us. He also says something else. He says it does not need to be that you cannot find him. And thus he gives in our second thought an encouragement that they might seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. Let us sing first from Psalter 415, stanza 4. Good and upright is Jehovah. In his dealings evermore, sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. The fourth stanza of Psalter 415. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. What does the Apostle Paul mean? He explains this further. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being. What does he speak about? He speaks about providence of God, a providence that speaks about three things. That is, the preservation, the cooperation, and the government. So Paul, he says that there is no one that can exist in his being. In him, we have our being. Thus, our being, our life cannot exist, cannot continue unless he upholds us in that being. And we cannot move, we cannot live. Not one finger, children, can we move if the Lord does not uphold us in our being and give us the strength to move our fingers. Paul, he says to this people, he says that is not just a doctrine that belongs, let's say, to the Jewish people. It's not just a doctrine that belongs to Christianity. No, he says your own poets have said this. Your own philosophers have said this. That was not concerning the true God, though, but that was concerning your idols and your false gods. They have said, we are his offspring. So, and your own poets have said, we are the offspring of God. Well, he says, so you are the offspring of God. And where are your gods? Well, he says, why do you think then that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone? They are your gods. They are your idols, and your altars are to them, and they are wood and stone. And you? Are you wood? Are you stone? No. No, you have a soul. You are a spiritual being that is the essence of your life. And your gods are wood and stone? Why do you think so? If your own poets have said that we are his offspring. Oh, no, he says, God is not dead. God is not an idol. God is alive, just like you are alive, because indeed you are his offspring, because you have been created in his image. He does not speak actually about the image in the narrow sense in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, but he is speaking really about that image in its broader sense. He says that you are created a spiritual being, and you are created with a rational mind, that you are able to think. You are not just like all of the animals. What does the Lord Jesus say? Pharisees came to him. Then the Lord Jesus says, do not look for the kingdom of God with observation to say, lo here or lo there. No, he says, the kingdom of God is within you. What does he mean? He means the same thing, that you are a spiritual being, that you need yourself to be born again, that true worship of God that takes place within the heart of a man, though he be not far from every one of you. You say, God, he is in heaven? That is right. God is in heaven. That is the place of his special glory. But where is he not? Where is God not? Say, he is everywhere. That's right. He says, do I not fill heaven and earth? Fill. That is what we call the immensity of God, the ubiquity, everywhere present. He fills every empty spot. He fills every full spot. Do not I fill heaven and earth? That has consequences. Why? Because the Lord, he says, can any man hide from me in a secret place that I shall not be able to find him? Who was that prophet of the Lord, boys and girls, that tried to run away from God? Remember? Who was the prophet of the Lord that tried to run away from God? That was Jonah. Did he get away? Did not get away. Cannot run away from God. We find that out now too, don't we? Because God, he is so near. He is so near to us with his judgments. We feel that. He is near to us in his wrath, in his hot displeasure. He is not very far away from us with his power. Paul, he speaks here about the judgment of God. He says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained. Did the Lord ever convince us in our heart that the judgment was near? I don't mean the judgment day, but that we have to die, that we soon have to die, and that we have to appear before him. The Lord has a purpose with that. What does Paul say? He says, the times of this ignorance God winked at. What does that mean? That means not that he did not see it as sinful or wrong, but he did not deal with that ignorance in that time of the Old Testament when he had reserved that special truth for that Jewish people. And that ignorance of the Gentiles, he did not completely destroy those Gentiles because they did not seek after him. No, he left them in his long suffering and he winked at it. He did not completely judge them for it. But now is a new time. Now is the beginning of the new dispensation. Now we see coming to all the world a knowledge and an instruction that is much greater than the theology that can be received from that natural creation. Now is coming to us, what? The Word of God, which shall be able to reveal to you the things that mankind has never known. And therefore, now he commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent. Say, does Paul bring the Athenians back to the law? What does repentance belong to? Does repentance belong to the law, or does it belong unto the gospel? Tell me what place that repentance has in a court. It's true that a human judge, when he sees repentance, then he can alleviate the sentence. But, technically speaking, the law leaves no room for repentance. The law judges every transgression which receives its just recompense of reward, no matter if you are feeling sorry for it or you are not feeling sorry for it. Thus, the repentance that does not belong to the old covenant had no place for repentance. But repentance that belongs especially to that new covenant. And what is the place of repentance in that new covenant? It is declared by the apostle as that which goes before forgiveness. There is no forgiveness in the law by the law. There is no forgiveness in that old covenant. Do this and thou shalt live. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There is no mediator in that old covenant. Forgiveness that belongs to that new covenant and repentance that belongs also to that new covenant, those two things, they cannot be separated. And thus Paul, when he speaks here about repentance, and when he speaks here that God, he is not far from every one of us, then he begins to declare to these Athenians the mercy of God, the grace of God. He preaches to those Athenians the resurrection from the dead. He preaches unto them the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the putting away of sin. The cross of Christ. The putting away the consequences of sin. That is death. Putting away of sin, you see? And what does sin do? Sin separates. Ever feel that? Sin separates. That separates from one another when we sin against one another. And it separates from the Lord when we sin against the Lord. Do we ever feel that? And now what does he say? Though he be not far from every one of us. Do you hear how he begins to preach the gospel unto these Athenians? How he begins to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to these Athenians, which has taken away that great distance between God and man, the cross of his only and dearly beloved Son? Not far from every one of us. How close? How close is the Lord? The Lord, he is as close as forgiveness is close to repentance. How close is that, Father, Mother? How close is forgiveness to repent? Read of that mother, Bethlehem, Judah. Son had taken her idols, her son. He said, Mother, here they are. Here they are. I took them. Never do that, boys and girls. What that mother say? Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Do you see how close that forgiveness is to repentance? That is now how close that the Lord is. When the Apostle Paul, he says, though he be not far from every one of us. How far were those brothers of Joseph from Joseph when they stood before him in that court? How far away were they? He said they were very close. That is right. They didn't know that yet. Didn't know that. Didn't know how Joseph was yearning, what his intention was, reveal himself. Say to them, I am Joseph. So close. Not until there was a full and an open profession, confession of their guilt and of their sin. To take that punishment upon themselves. Go into the prison. That repentance came. Oh, then forgiveness. That was there in me. Then those brothers, they experienced something about this man, about this ruler who was so stern, whom they feared so much. They learned something about him in that moment. What was that? His mercy. His mercy. His grace. Or they are brought to the knowledge. that he is Joseph, that he is their brother, though he be not far from every one of us. What did David say? He says, oh Lord, be not far from me. You say that too. Oh Lord, be not possible that we say, I wish the Lord was far away. Do you say that sometimes, young people? Have you even think that sometimes, that the Lord, he is far away? Your conscience speaks to you. Say, maybe you go as far as what we read in the Bible about the foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Can be your wish. Because if there was no God, there was no one to answer to, then my conscience that can stop speaking, then I can live like the rest of the world and everything is just relative and there is no right and there is no wrong anyway. And then I can just do as my heart wishes. But we receive a warning out of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says, though he be not far from every one of us, because the Lord, he says that he will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. There are some of us who have been coming to church for a long time. And you are not indifferent. Read and you pray. And you are faithful. You ask the Lord, Lord, convert me as thou convertest all thy. And yet you have to say at this moment that I am unconverted. I am glad that you are honest with yourself. I am unconverted. It can be that you think the Lord is very far away. You are afraid sometimes that you will die and you will be buried. Like the Bible that speaks about the wicked man who had come and gone from the place of the holy. He was buried like a wicked man. It is not our word. It is not even the word of the Apostle Paul. It is a word that is inspired by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of the Lord. It is a word that is spoken not only through the natural theology. It is spoken through the divine revelation. What does it say? It says, though he be not far from every one of us. Though he be not far from you, he does not reveal himself, his nearness to an unbroken heart. Say, that is just my problem. I cannot break it. I cannot make this heart to weep for my sin. That is awful. That is awful. Do we feel it to be sin? Did you ever tell him that? Did you ever go in your secret place and now spread that all before the Lord, remembering that the Lord is not very far away, that he is, as it were, standing right next to you. Though he be not far from every one of us. And now to say, Lord, here is my unbroken heart. Here is my heart that cannot weep. Here is now a heart that cannot feel after thee. When Israel was in bondage, then we read their cry. Their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Is there also that people? And it can be because that way can be long. They had hopes. Moses came, he spoke about the Lord, what he was going to do for them, and they hoped. And after they had hoped, then it all gets taken away again. The bondage that only increases, and the suffering under that bondage that increases to the point that the dirt comes out. And they come against the servant of the Lord. Time can be long. And then it can be that people, they say, this goes all wrong. And that they think that the Lord is so far away. Sees nothing, he hears nothing, and he cares for nothing. Were they right? Were they right? They were not right. The Lord, he looked on that people. And the Lord, he looked on their affliction. And the Lord, he had respect to that people. Though he be not far from every one of us. And it is not only for that people in Israel, but we can even we can read about the established people of the Lord. Because they went into that land of Canaan. And there in that land of Canaan, they sinned against the Lord. And for 70 years long, they had to hang their harps upon the willows of Babylon. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It was in that place that they sighed unto God, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent concerning thy servant. Sin. Sin that brings separation. Oh, the Lord, he had brought himself so close to that people. He took upon himself their own nature. Their own nature. joined it in union with his own divine nature, bringing himself into the circle of mankind so close. Shall he not then be offended when that people, they depart from him? You know what Solomon writes? He writes, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Wrought gold. What is wrought gold? You take gold thread. It is woven in into that raiment of needlework that is made to clothe that people of the Lord. So close, inseparably close, the Lord, he has brought himself into a relation with that people. Is it not right then that he should be offended when they would leave him one day? And that he would hide his face from them. Yet he does not go far away. He does not go far away. God's servant, he had to testify that he hath not despised the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hid his face from. But when he cried unto him, he heard, that they might seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find, though he be not far from every one of us. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is an eternal wonder and shall be eternally glorified what thou hast done to bring thyself, Emmanuel, God with us, and to bring thy church, thy people, who have transgressed and who are guilty and corrupt, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. And thou hast forgiven, washed, and cleansed them, and renewed them, that they might be a people unto thyself, a peculiar people. Oh, that thou may do so, Lord, for each and every one of us. Oh, give us to feel something of thy nearness, of thy presence, and of thy favor. For indeed thou art not far from every one of us. Oh, that we may be given to know it and to experience it, not in thy wrath and in thy hot displeasure, but in the application of thy mercy and of thy grace. Oh, give us to seek for it, for thou sayest we still can find it. Do be with us in the rest of this day. Help us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, that there may be a desire to search that divine word, that we may seek and find that wisdom that makes wise unto salvation. Help each one in the week to come. Spare from a sudden accident and an unexpected death. Do forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 72, stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. And what follows in the fourth stanza, 1 and 4 of Psalter 72. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.